Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're top of your helmet!
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
Sully to throw it, takes off, delivers a shot, and makes the first down. Lance Mitchell came up to meet the quarterback. Masoli won the battle.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back.
John.
Second hour of our radio program.
Hiya!
Sucker.
Here today. We're going to get to some college football candy corn because we've got a lot of news and notes to cover, including Diego Pavia, my new favorite college quarterback behind John Mateer.
There's some transfer portal news happening.
So actually, he's my third favorite college quarterback. But I do like watching him play. I think he's really good.
Where's Mestemaker fall into the rankings?
I haven't seen him.
Oh, okay.
I respect him, but I haven't seen him.
What, you didn't watch that?
No.
That barn burner of a Washington State North Texas game?
Nope.
To be fair, can I say that I just stumbled across it?
What channel was it on?
I don't know. So I have on my little streaming box, I just have all the college games that just line up in one column.
I'll guess and say the CW.
So I never know where anything is. I just scroll through and I just was like, oh, yeah, Washington State. And then I clicked on it. And it was early in the game. I was like, oh, yeah, I actually kind of want to see some of this because I had only seen a little bit of the Cougs in their first two games. And then I ended up watching a train wreck. I couldn't look away. I kept going back to it and was like, ah.
Yo, let's got to do something.
Let's got to do something, Cougs.
Cougs.
Let's got to do something.
Well.
Also, the Longhorns. It was a weird day of watching college football. I ended up hate watching.
Well,
a lot of bad football.
Look, you got a problem because us plebes, out in the regular world, we don't have all the games like that.
No.
So we only watch. I mean, the only way I would watch a Washington State North Texas game is if I bet on it, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So
I don't. I would
seek it out otherwise.
I'm weird in that.
I bet on it.
Did you win?
Yeah, I had North Texas, and that was easy.
Did you watch it?
Some. I watched enough to know that the bet was a no sweat.
There's just I get little weird worms in my head where I'm like, oh, I want to see what this looks like, and I'll find myself kind of being enthralled with it. It was like with Texas. Every time I'd flip over to the Texas game, I was like, oh my God, how bad does Arch Manning look? His mechanics. And so I just find myself going back to that. Because there's just, for whatever reason, there's games that even if they're not competitive, see the Washington State game, I just found myself going back to it. It's like a sickness. Football sucks, kind of. But sometimes football that sucks, to me, can actually be more interesting to watch.
That's why you said kind of.
That's why, yeah, it kind of sucks.
So Diego Pavia is the quarterback at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Does a nice little job. Scrappy little ball player.
He's a gamer.
I believe Vandy, 3-0.
Yeah. And his mom's going out with Theo Vaughn now.
Has that been confirmed?
I don't know.
So Diego went on his Twitter and he shared a screenshot of Diego saying, okay, I'm paying up on my end. Here's my DM to Tate McRae. So now you got to set me up with your mom.
So Diego Pavia sent. Okay, wait. Let's go all the way back.
Yeah. Diego Pavia told comedian and podcaster Theo Vaughn that if Vanderbilt beat South Carolina, he would set Theo Vaughn up on a date with his mom, Diego's mom.
Because Theo always said he wanted to date a nurse.
Yes.
And she's a nurse.
Yes.
Which is kind of a weird tie-in, but okay.
And so then Cole Kubelik, the sideline reporter, talked with Theo Vaughn about it on the broadcast, and people were like, whoa, why would Diego do that? And he said, well, Theo forgot to mention the other part.
Is Theo a Vanderbilt guy?
I don't know.
Could tell you.
Maybe a South Carolina guy?
Don't know where
maybe South Carolina.
It was a bet between
them? Oh, yeah, yeah. That would make more sense. I mean, that,
Yeah.
knowing what we know, I mean, of Theo Von, he's more South Carolina than he
the
is
most prestigious Vanderbilt academic institution in the SEC.
That makes sense, though. Okay. And they won. Vanderbilt won.
And so then Diego took to Twitter to say he forgot the other part of the bet where if I set him up with the date with my mom, he has to set me up with Tate McRae, who is a young, and hot singer.
Apparently he knows Tate McRae.
Or at least thinks and he knows him well enough being in celeb circles.
Hasn't Vaughn now said he has sent a message to Tate McRae?
Yeah, Diego has, or Vaughn screen capped his DM to her on Instagram and said, here, like, here's what he looks like. You interested in going out with this guy? And if the answer is no, you can go with me too.
Yeah, as far as we know, Tate McRae has not responded. But to Theo Von's credit, he did send the message. And by the way, this whole Travis Kelce thing, dude, shoot your shot, boys.
Yeah.
You put it might out on social media.
This is how it's done now.
Stuff happens.
So anyway, Diego Pavia is petitioning for a sixth and seventh year of eligibility.
Yes.
And I believe he's already won his sixth, and they're talking about his seventh.
Well, he's playing
in his sixth, right now.
Well, then why is he petitioning for a sixth?
Well,
no, he won that petition. He's playing in it, and now for a seventh, right?
The story I read said he was petitioning for two more years. So
two more?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, and by the way, there's no red shirts in there. He's just saying, I want to play more. Because this has been kind of thrown around. Someone else challenged it earlier this year. I forget who it was. But USC was going through this. I think Miami. So we've had some players that are challenging the eligibility rules of college football because basically you can get paid now. So it's like, well, I want to stay here and play more ball. I don't really have an NFL future, but I can make money here. And how can you tell
me
that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, he said that he was offered $3 to $4 million.
Yeah. Which I don't really buy, but
yeah, you know, he may be full of it on that. But what he's saying is, hey, this is important to me because if I'm not going to the NFL, I got to capitalize.
Yes.
Now, what he's also saying, he's quoted the On3 story and said, cap, this is my last year. Cap is a slang for that's a lie.
Yeah.
So he's, even though this is maybe being challenged, he's saying he's not coming back even if this were to win, which doesn't make any sense, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
He's 24 years old.
Yes. But, dude, I have no doubt in my mind that if given an opportunity to come back and play again, he would. I mean,
why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you turn down, or you wouldn't turn down?
Says he's not.
Money.
Well, outside of sports, is there?
Because he's not going to win it.
Is there another profession that you have to pounce at ages 19 through 24?
Gymnastics, maybe. You have to actually.
Outside of sports.
Oh, outside of sports. Gamers.
Yeah? You got to be young?
I guess by the time you're like 20, 21, you're washed up.
Isn't that a sport, though?
Is it?
Embrace debate.
Yeah, I don't know. No, outside of that, no. It's it has to be anything physical. I mean, because you're never at your peak at 19, 20, 21. Nothing like that.
Can you name the player who has participated in the most plays in college football history? Now, Pavia's got a long way to go.
Yes.
Because he's been a starter. He was at New Mexico State, I think, or somewhere like that.
The most plays.
This is only his fourth year starting.
Is it someone that played both sides of the ball or just one?
No, just one.
Is it Dylan Gabriel?
He's number two.
Ooh. Okay. Well, Gabriel, Bo Nix.
Nix is down the
list.
Is
it Cam McCormick?
He hasn't played that many.
No,
he was
that's
hurt.
Right.
It's going to be someone from the COVID era.
He is not.
Really?
No.
Before the COVID guy?
Yeah. Before the COVID guy.
Huh. I don't know how that's possible.
I loved COVID. Played in.
He had to like start as
well, a lot of play. Remember, this is plays, not games. So they had a lot. They ran a lot of offense. A lot of plays.
Oh, is it like a Luke Falk, like a 4-year starter at Washington State or something?
Andre Ware.
No.
David Klingon. Someone like I don't know.
It is the great. Can you guys feel that suspense?
I do.
Timmy Chang.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Timmy Chang has played in more.
He has.
They went hurry up. They were always behind, always playing tempo, never ran the ball. Yep. Makes sense, I guess.
So he has 2,587 plays in college football. Mm. Dylan Gabriel, 2,535.
Hmm.
Almost caught him.
I'll be damned.
So Pavia's got a long way to go.
So if they made another playoff game, he would have caught him.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
true. It cost him the record.
Yeah. By the way, I was reading through about the Diego's lawsuit, and yeah, so he was playing under an injunction for this year, and they were suing for next year as well, which hasn't been ruled upon. But then, of course, he's saying that no, even if I do win that, which is not expected, he won't come back. So it was technically a battle for this year and next year. He won the injunction for this year, but it still hasn't been ruled upon.
I see.
For next year.
All right. Who is the most accurate quarterback in college football thus far? We'll get to that next on The Fan. All right. In the news is coming up next. Someone very famous is coming to town. We'll tell you about. But this is our college football candy corn. You know, completion percentage. You know, it's a stat and all.
Yes.
But it's not the most accurate measure of a quarterback.
Oh, God, no. Especially you know? In the college game when so much is, you know, screens and dinks and dunks. Fun NFL fact. I saw this today. Jalen Hurts, who completes a high percentage, he has thrown 5 passes all year over 20 yards.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, under 10 is short passes, 10 to 19, and then over. So 5 passes, he's actually taken shots over 20 yards. Would you care to guess how many passes he has thrown between 10 and 19 yards this year?
2.
0.
Oh.
Hasn't even attempted one. So it's like...
So know, 5 deep balls?
5 deep balls, completed 2, and then everything else has been checked down Charlie. So,
yeah. Daniel Jones is playing better than Jalen Hurts.
I say the deep ball, man.
So far.
Completion Daniel percentage Jones. Can be kind of a wonky...
Do you know that the Colts haven't punted?
I know. Freaking Daniel Jones.
Also, we got the birth of a great new nickname, Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that
That's
killer?
That's great. Yes.
Why didn't I think of that?
Why didn't you think of that?
I'm a little upset.
Well, he needed to perform well to get any nickname there, but it works.
I'm a little upset at myself for not putting that together.
So percentage of throws that are accurate is different than completion percentage because, you know, a guy could drop it.
Sure.
But it still could be an accurate throw.
Yeah.
And so Pro Football Focus measures this.
Mm-hmm.
Analytic, and I have the top 5 in okay. college football thus far.
I bet you I can get, well, are they going to, is it going to be weird? Are you going to give me like a,
no.
an Eastern Illinois?
No, they're all big names.
Okay. I can get 3 of them.
Okay.
Dante Moore will be in there.
He's number 5.
Because he's completing like 77 or 78% of his passes.
Well, this is a different metric.
It's different.
Metric.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going off of guys I know that are completing like damn near 80%. So I'm assuming if you're up there.
Well, but wait. Just to clarify,
yeah.
you could throw a pass that is not accurate,
yes.
and it could still be caught.
Yes.
So this is so I know what you mean, yeah, but
I'm
it's just
saying,
a different.
I'm what is it on target? If you have percentage? A very high completion percentage, you're going to be high in this stat.
Should be.
So I'm saying,
percentage of throws that are accurate is what they
okay.
say.
So I know Dante Moore is up there.
He's number 5, 81%.
Okay, I know Raiola at Nebraska is having a really
not
accurate year.
In the top 5.
Not in the top 5.
How about the kid from USC?
Not. In the top 5.
Carson Beck
mm-hmm.
is having a great year at Miami.
He is number 2.
He's number 2.
82.7% of his throws are accurate.
So I just have 2.
3 more.
Won't be Aller. He's kind of struggling a little bit. Won't be Klubnik.
I don't think it'll be Nussmeier either.
No, it won't be Nussmeier. He's not having...
Probably won't be Aller.
Marcel Reed isn't having a good year. Completion. He's only completing like 58% of his
what
passes.
What about JKS at Cal?
Oh, that's good.
Not in the top 5.
Hmm.
What about Sayan at Ohio State?
Julian Sayan, number 1.
Okay.
Is he really?
Number 1. 86.8% of his throws are accurate.
Huh.
Per Pro Football Focus.
Because he's kind of getting the he's fine.
But I wonder how many of his are going really far downfield. Hmm.
Probably not many.
It feels like that Day has not let him really cut
but,
a loose yet.
You know, he was the guy.
But he's doing
you know,
what they're asked.
This is why the preseason, all the preseason talk is so... nauseating.
Mm.
Arch Manning, Arch Manning, yeah. Arch Manning, Arch Manning. Well, okay. Arch Manning is, we're now talking about him being benched and Julian Sayan leads the league in
yeah.
accuracy,
yeah.
or leads college football in accuracy. I mean, nobody knows anything.
I would not have gotten Julian Sayan. I just was kind of going through in my head the top teams and their quarterbacks.
2 others.
How about the kid from Utah, Dampier?
Negative, although I can't wait for Texas Tech, Utah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And no one
one
ever said that
That's
ever.
That's going to be fun. It won't be the Texas Tech kid. Or Texas Tech kid. No. He's not that accurate. What about Mizzou's guy, the Penn State transfer?
Prabula. No.
No?
These guys are in the SEC.
They're in the SEC.
And they will meet
oh.
next week or 2 weeks. I think.
Oh, I was going to say maybe Joey Aguilar?
Nope. Gunnar Stockton is 4th
oh.
at 81.7.
Okay.
And what is the Alabama quarterback's first name?
Ty Simpson.
Ty Simpson is?
Ty Simpson, 82.4.
Because he played poorly in week 1, I thought. But I guess maybe he didn't.
There you go.
It
boys.
Wasn't great against Florida State, no.
Yeah.
And then, hey, dude, hats off to Gunner because
yeah.
he was taking a lot of heat those first 2 weeks. And they came out and got down 21-0 to Tennessee. And that son of a gun came slinging back.
It wasn't 21-0.
I thought it was 21-3 then.
No, it was 7-7 at one point.
Was it?
I think it was 21-7.
Okay, it was 21-7.
Was the biggest the lead guy.
Because Tennessee jumped out early, and he played a hell of a game down the stretch.
Yeah, so he looked pretty good.
Yes, yes he did.
So Sayan, Beck, Simpson, Stockton, and Dante Moore, the most accurate in college football so far.
Interesting.
Colorado has made a change.
Again?
Again. The kid Staub started last week, threw for 204 yards, threw two picks, and they lost to Houston. Hmm. So now Deion is going back to Caden Salter.
Still no Juju Lewis.
Still no Julian Lewis.
I am making my bold prediction that Deion will be gone before the end of next year.
UCLA?
Yeah. No, he will either step down. That thing is not going to go well, right? He's got his health problems. I just don't think that is going to end up working at Colorado.
This isn't a good bit. When you're switching quarterback, benched your starting quarterback in week two or three.
And he has no team building. He doesn't recruit. Everything is transfer portal. There's no buzz around that programming anymore. There's no juice. And he's got the health problems either. I just think but before the end of next year, it wouldn't shock me if it happens this year. Ooh, Pete Alonso. tie ball game. It wouldn't shock me this year.
They're back.
If this season, told you they were back. If it goes south in Colorado and it doesn't look great right now, it wouldn't shock me if we got to week 8 or 9 and he tips his cowboy hat and says that, you know, due to blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's got it. You can always go with
it now.
You can always go with the health card.
It's a built-in excuse.
It's a built-in excuse. He doesn't want to be there. It's not going great. And I think he's going to find out. Look, he had the best player in the country in Travis Hunter and a very, very good, competent quarterback in his kid. And dude, the highlight at Colorado was getting your ass kicked in the Alamo Bowl. We act as if he had some monstrous turnaround. He did not. He took an irrelevant program and he made them interesting. But they didn't, you know, they weren't winning 10 and 11 games. And those guys are gone. The recruiting classes stink. It's still Colorado where they don't have a ton of resources. And now he's got cancer and he's got a pee tent on the sidelines. And he's just not a guy I feel that will grind his way through it.
Brought to you by Depend.
Yeah, brought to you by Depend. And the college football, when you look at the people that are successful, it's the obsessives. It's the people that just want to work day in and day out. Deion won't even go on recruiting trips. He's like, no, you come here. And I think for a little bit, there was like some sizzle and people wanted to come play there. When's the last time that Deion actually had really positive press where like people were like, man, Prime, it's not there anymore. And he will not like being confined to an afterthought in college football and he will walk away. I don't think they'll fire him. I think he will walk away.
So last year, top of the Big 12 was Arizona State, BYU, mm-hmm. Iowa State, Colorado.
Yeah.
They all tied.
Yeah.
For the top.
Yep.
Power rank the top of the Big 12 early in this season.
It's tough because we haven't really seen. Because
it's that is the funnest.
Yes.
League in the country.
Well, it's the most wide open.
Iowa State has earned it.
Yeah. They look good.
So they've earned the right to be.
Well, do they look good?
Well, not really.
They've done what's been asked of them.
They grind out wins. So they earn the right to be.
You're going
to
put them up there?
No. The two best teams are playing this week.
Texas Tech
or Utah?
Utah.
Yes.
Not BYU.
Not BYU.
Yet. Not TCU.
Well, and TCU's got a little something cooking too. They got a really nice quarterback in that, I think it's Josh Hoover, that's having a great year. So I think there's plenty of teams that are capable. BYU looks really good. But we do have a freshman quarterback and, you know, we've played Portland State and Stanford. So, the defense looks elite, but again, we've played Portland State and we've played Stanford. So to me, I think you go Texas Tech, Utah, and that's 1-2, as far as who I think is the best, but Iowa State has earned it. So I'll say Iowa State 1, Utah 2, Texas Tech 3, although I think Utah and Texas Tech are going to be better. And then I would put BYU tucked in behind them. And then I think you've got another class of people from TCU. Don't count out Arizona State. I think Arizona State had the one bad game, but I still kind of believe in that. And then there's probably another 3 or 4 teams that if someone gets hot can make a run at this.
You have Baylor.
Yes.
You have Kansas.
Yeah.
You have Arizona 3-0.
West Virginia is undefeated.
Arizona looked pretty good against Kansas State.
Yeah.
Kansas State, Houston.
On the other hand, it looks stinky.
Yeah, Noah Fafita seems like he's been in college forever, yeah. And that kid can ball a little
bit. He's good. Houston is 3-0.
Yep.
Willie Fritz. It's a good little league.
Yeah, it's fun.
What was that? What was your Houston guy's name? Like Hollywood Smothers or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Hollywood Smothers. He's their running back. Yeah. Get on board.
And Houston gets, next week, they get the, because Houston has a bye, and then they're on the road to Corvallis. So we get to see what they have.
Do we? You're implying that we're watching that game.
I will watch that. I have watched every Oregon State game.
What's the spread on that going to be?
Houston minus nine.
Oh, no.
15.5?
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be 2+ touchdowns. Because I'm guessing the Civil War will be an alley kick in and, you know. By the way, that may be a Trent Bray save your job sort of game against Houston. If they go 0-5 and the Civil War is ugly and we all think it's going to be ugly, and then you come in and Houston lays a double-digit ass kicking on you, what do you, like, where do you go? We'll beat App State on the road. At some point, and I know Scott Barnes came out and said that he has full confidence that Trent Bray is the guy, which, by the way, plenty of people have said, oh, yeah, I have full confidence right before they fire someone. At some point, you have to realize that he's not the guy, and the apathy is setting in your program, and that's a dangerous thing. Speaking of which, I saw the opening press conference today for the new UCLA interim coach. I think his name is Tim Skipper. And he went around, and he said, call me Skip. Mm. He went around to every reporter there and shook their hand and saying, call me Skip. Dude, there were like 7 people there.
Well,
it's bad.
Maybe Brian Kelly should take a note out of Tim Skipper's media mojo.
Does it say something, though, when at your introductory press conference, you can take the time to go around and introduce yourself personally to everyone there?
He play there?
I don't know. I have no idea where.
Never heard of the guy.
Yeah. Tim Skipper. I was like, huh, what? Sure.
So he was an assistant there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he took
over. Or did they pull him off the streets?
No.
Hey, you want to coach the Bruins? Yeah, all right.
What?
Sure.
What was that?
You got that Nico guy, yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg had a movie like that where she ended up coaching the New York Knicks.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, her name was Eddie.
No, he was the UCLA special assistant to the head coach, whatever that means.
He played at Fresno.
So he wasn't really a coach.
He's your age.
He was a special assistant, and they were like, dude, just...
You might have played against him.
Yeah.
Did you play Fresno?
I did. I played Fresno State a couple times.
97 to 2000, he played at Fresno.
Then yes. What position did he play?
I think he was a linebacker.
Oh. Then you know what?
Yeah, you played against him.
Me and the mighty Tim Skipper.
You probably put hands on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably held him, just like you held everyone else.
I did like to hold quite a bit. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that kind of makes me feel...
isn't that fun?
Although it makes me feel like, what did
Six degrees of souk.
What did I do with my life?
Well, I mean, look, you probably make more than he does.
Tim Skipper.
Look, radio's not that lucrative, but yeah. Can't imagine they're paying him a ton.
Fresno State, by the way, home of the worst insult I've ever heard in my entire life, where a kid with cerebral palsy in a wheelchair threw something at me and then told me, 6'8", lose some weight.
How do you, like, what do you...
There's
you
no don't. Comeback for that.
You don't.
Okay, so, but if it were just a guy, there would be, but because it's...
He's a crippled kid in a wheelchair.
Listen.
And he got your ass.
I'm just saying, it's just a dude that yells at you,
yes.
What do you do? But then when you turn around and you see it's a kid in a wheelchair, you're like, ah. Yeah.
Well, I got hit in the back.
Yeah.
And I was like, I turned around because I was like, are you effing kidding me? Because they're right on.
You were going to roll some heads?
I was pretty pissed.
You were LeGarrette Blount.
And then I saw it was the kid in all crippled up in the wheelchair. And then he
all
hit me.
All crippled up?
With
yeah, you should have seen what he just.
He was so crippled.
The motion that he.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
And then he hit
that.
Me with a 6'8", lose some weight. And I didn't have a comeback for it. And the worst part was my roommate, Ford Post, and you son of a bitch, turned to me and goes, yeah, you probably could lose a couple. And then, like, I was like, oh, God bless him. I turned around. Took him like a year to get out the 6'8", lose some weight, too.
I was a
but
lie.
Freaking Fresno State. They kicked our ass. Tim Skipper. To this day, the most hurtful thing ever said to me. You can't, like, there's no comeback for when a crippled kid makes fun
of you. Well, they could say anything to you. You can't.
No.
You just have to move on.
And we had the all-white uniforms, and they were very tight, and it wasn't my, you know, it was...
Well, look, your roommate said it. I mean, look, he's not wrong.
Look, it was a little tight. I'm in it.
Yeah. I know you're upset, but he's not wrong.
He wasn't wrong. Love handles were hanging out a little bit.
All right, in the news is coming up next, suspicious backpack. Remember, we've talked about suspicious backpacks, you know?
Yeah, you can't have them.
Well, but isn't every backpack suspicious if you don't know what's in it?
Yeah, when it's lying on the ground, though, it's like it's
I just don't understand the what makes it like some suspicious and others not. Well, we have more suspicious backpack news. So much questions here. We'll get to that next. Here's Buck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, several follow-ups. One, we have a listener who has cerebral palsy. His name is John. He listens to us every day.
Yeah.
And he is in a wheelchair, and he tells us that crippled is not a good word. And I believe John when he says that. He says handicap is fine, also disabled, acceptable.
There you go.
Therefore, we must apologize for using the term crippled.
I retract and say that a handicapped gentleman threw a battery at me and then hit me with the infamous 6'8", lose some weight.
However, the word crippled does come to us in a different form via the YouTube chat who wrote the headline,
yeah.
BYU lineman financially cripples disabled boy. And that's exactly what you would have done.
What?
That comes via Monopoly Man Morgan.
All right.
If you've, I don't know how it is anymore, but the Fresno State crowd was the just the meanest, and they would huck batteries at you, and you had to walk. Like their stadium was so screwed up that the visitors' locker room was the baseball locker room that was like a mile away, and it was so small that some of us got dressed out on the baseball field, and then you had to walk through like their tailgate to get to the stadium, and people threw batteries at you, and then they lined up a bunch of disabled people right behind our bench, and we were heckled all game by this group of disabled people, a lot of them being kids, and they would throw batteries at us. That's what Fresno State was about. Freaking, you know what? I want to get Tim Skipper on the line, and he's going to think we're asking him about UCLA? Nay. I'm going to ask him about his time at Fresno State, those dirty sons of bitches.
The other follow-up comes to us from our boss, fan man Dusty Hera.
A lot of follow-ups right now.
Well, we were talking about Indiana Jones, Daniel Jones' new nickname.
Yes.
The real Indiana Jones, and only Dusty would know this, he is a freshman at Rocky Mountain College. His name is Indiana Jones. He's a freshman wide receiver there.
Dude.
First off, Berrien, Washington.
Rocky Mountain College?
Yeah, the Batlin Bears.
Oh, man. First off, kudos to whoever had the last name Jones and had the balls to name their kid Indiana.
Totally.
Freaking A, that's awesome. I love that.
It is September 17, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello? All rise. Please be seated. It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Professional House Cleaners Day. Just make sure they're not too hot.
Well, I've got that story, too. I've told that one before.
It's a good one.
Yeah. When my wife was really, really sick, I decided that I would do her a solid and hire a housekeeper so that she wouldn't have to clean the house. And those sons of guns at the maid service sent over like an absolute smoke show. of a cleaning lady who was like 20 something. And I answered the door and immediately was like, yeah, no.
It's not going to work.
No. Feeling hot. And I had to come up with some horse crap excuse to send her away. And then when they contacted me and were like, what was wrong? I didn't quite know how to tell them. I think I said, I need someone with more experience.
What do you burglar?
Maybe someone a little older that isn't going to get me stabbed in the face by my sick wife. I was a lie. I'm sure when I called, I'm sure they were like, oh yeah, here's a guy asking for a housekeeper. Let's send in the smoke show. Nay.
It's a landmine.
That's a landmine.
It is also National Monte Cristo Day. A delicious sandwich.
Love.
But a hard one to execute well. There are places that do a Monte Cristo because they want to have it on the menu, and a crappy Monte Cristo is no good. It's either soggy or...
La Provence. That.
They do a good one.
Is a Monte Cristo done right.
Most underrated sandwiches?
Monte Cristo might be up there.
Yeah, I think it's because it's really hard to come by.
It's hard to come by. And when you can get a crappy one, when done right, really, really good. Also, let me say this. The pork tenderloin sandwich does not get the credit it deserves.
Okay. Can I offer up just a really good club?
Yeah.
Club sandwich, yeah.
Really good club sandwich is underrated. And I don't know if it's an actual type of sandwich, but might I offer that anything buffalo is... buffalo, buffalo meat. I just mean like...
Buffalo flavor.
Like a buffalo chicken salad,
sort of. Yeah.
Anything buffalo on a sandwich... Dynamite.
With a little crumbled blue cheese in there.
Oh, my God. Boy, do two things go together?
Oh, it's perfect.
As well as those two?
Well, it's why the wing works. I mean, look at the industry that was created based off of buffalo wing sauce and blue cheese.
Well, I was mentioning that someone famous is coming to town. And I wasn't kidding.
Who we got?
Well, then famous? Looking for the email.
Is this like Taylor Swift famous? Or
no. Not quite that.
Like J-Lo famous.
Coming to Moda Center December 31. Now, that might throw a wrench into your plans.
Oh, so we got New Year's Eve here.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. John Mulaney.
Really?
Oh.
Comedian John Mulaney.
That'd be a fun New Year's Eve. Actually, I think that's a fun New Year's Eve.
I think, would there be any college football playoff games?
Let's find out.
That
on
night?
New Year's Eve? I don't think so.
Well, they did that a couple years ago.
New Year's Eve?
I thought they did.
Late into the
Didn't
eve?
Didn't they?
Huh.
And then he is playing with special guest Fred Armisen.
Really?
Coming. Well, doesn't he live here?
Yes, I think he has a place here, yes.
The quarterfinals of the Cotton Bowl, New Year's Eve this year.
Yeah. But that's probably earlier in the day.
I assume earlier in the day?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that'll conflict.
Is he's playing Moda, you said?
Yeah.
Dude, I saw Mulaney, I've seen him a bunch of times, and a lot of times I don't care for comedy in like Moda Center. It loses something because it's just such a big place. But I saw him on his Baby J when he got out of rehab, and that was at Moda Center, and he is great. John Mulaney is a phenomenal stand-up comedian.
That'll be a 4:30 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah, okay. He's one of the funnier guys out there. Yeah. No, I hope he's doing well. Hope he's not, you know?
Oh, no.
Drugs and stuff?
No, he's like the...
Is he still sober?
Yeah, and like his whole last stand-up was about it, and then he did the... he's done a bunch of stuff. He had a really fun show called Everybody's in L.A.,
Yeah. Like, no, I've seen all that. Yeah. That doesn't mean he's sober. I'm just hoping that he's,
Because he was big time hooked, and that's what one of his,
his funny. I mean, it's funny him. Yeah. He's very honest about it. It makes for a great show.
If you haven't seen it, again, drug money and stuff.
Go look at his last special called Baby J, and that's the whole thing is about his drug problem.
And it's sensational. It's really good.
It's comedy. Like, you don't want anyone to have a drug problem, but it also leads to great music and epic comedy when you do. I mean, let's be honest.
Here is your suspicious backpack news for the day. A police explosive team defused a bomb in a public bathroom on the Oregon coast after someone spotted a suspicious backpack.
Yeah. Where on the coast?
See something, say something.
Although okay.
Again, I'm still
but
not
again,
seeing
how are you
what's...
going there?
Wait, this is my point about suspicious backpacks.
Yeah.
What makes it suspicious? Is it if I saw a backpack sitting at a public restroom by itself, no less, at a public restroom on the Oregon coast, I'm not sure I would think anything of it.
Well, here's the thing. Who was the if you know porn when you see it? Was that Jerry Falwell?
Sure.
you know, it was like the Supreme Court thing. Like, it was like, define pornography. And he goes, I know it when I see it. You will know a suspicious car and a suspicious backpack when you see it. Can you define it? Probably not. But if you see like a really nice, like Columbia, or maybe like an REI, like hiking backpack, there's a camelback attached to it, right? Like, and you see it laying on the ground, you're like, oh, someone is in the bathroom, or maybe someone left it behind. When you see like a JanSport that has a bunch of doodlings on the leather underneath, and it's got one strap, and like, you know, there's like, there's some mittens that are like on it for some unknown reason, like to one of the handles, like you can tell. You can tell when something's shady. Saying, hey, there was a van parked out front. What kind of van? What did the van look like? You'll know the shady van when you see it.
So this was north of Gearhart at Sunset Beach State Recreation Site. And Oregon State Park staff called the police agency around 10:20 a.m. after the discovery of the backpack. Officials scrambled a bomb squad with experts from Oregon State Police and Salem Police, and the team defused the device without any injuries.
So someone was indeed trying to...
Someone was trying to blow
people up?
It was a working explosive device in the backpack. Why they would put it there, no idea.
Why is someone trying to blow up a rest, you know?
Well, like I said, why they would put it there, no idea.
Interesting. Well, thank God.
They checked other locations around the park, but did not find any additional explosives.
So should we be concerned that... out on the coast, there's like a Unabomber dude, or you know, can we also say that there's a difference between like someone with a backpack that can like blow up an entire bathroom and someone that's got like an M80 in there?
Well, both are bad.
Yeah, I know, but
perhaps he.
Sure, well, one's a firework and the other's a bomb.
I'm sure it was he, but perhaps they were targeting someone. You know, maybe trying to, you know. Because why else would you, like...
I don't know.
What do you get out of that?
Well, I don't know. Like, the Olympic bombing, right? That wasn't targeting him.
Well, I know, but there's a lot of people there. This is a single bathroom just in rural...
Maybe a disgruntled local? Just someone who's pissed off early?
What if, like, someone's just following me around waiting for me to go drop a deuce somewhere, and then they're like, let me just leave this backpack here? It's kind of terrifying. Because that is, let's be honest, is that not when you're at your most vulnerable? Like... When you got your pants around your ankle in a public bathroom, find me a situation where you're more helpless. It's the most helpless you're going to be.
Well, I have other coast news, and it's not good.
What the hell's going on down on the coast?
All hell's breaking loose out there.
It's wild in these streets.
And Fried Chicken Week is here. That's coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a few more stories here on In the News, September 17, 2025. Yes, I told you about the bomb that was defused by our heroes in blue out at the Oregon coast. Also, you might want to turn on your mic if you want anybody to hear you.
I have a buddy of mine who's on the Portland bomb disposal squad, and shout out Randy, he's a good dude.
So also out on the coast, Thor's Well, you've been there.
Thor's Well?
Yeah, Thor's Well.
I've been there.
Yeah. It's a attraction on the coast. You know, it almost looks like it's like a hole in the rocks.
It's a rock formation that has a hole in it, and when the tide comes in, it like shoots up a spout.
Yeah. That's called Thor's Well?
Yeah, it's called Thor's Well. About 20 feet deep.
Yeah.
And water comes in and out of it under and over. Yeah. It's like, I think it's like a sunken sea cave or like a caved in sea cave. Anyway, a man fell in today.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
What was it? Was it empty or was it full?
It was full.
Oh, not good. Did he?
He perished.
Yeah, because I'm guessing the undertow and the waves, and I'm guessing that's like that's
well
probably bad news.
So what the guy they interviewed the guy who was on his way to rescue, you know, like the Coast Guard guy who drops in, you know,
yeah.
Like that badass.
Yeah, the Coast Guard swimmers.
And they said what they were hoping was that, you know, he falls all the way down and then gets swept under and out.
And out.
And then they could maybe go find him.
But he got stuck underneath.
He was in there, and when they got there, he was face down in the
yeah.
in Thor's well, and yeah. they were like, ah. Yeah. And they can't go in there.
No, I guess, like, the underneath all that stuff, that's why they say, like, anything where you have those underwater caves and whatnot, I guess all the tide and like, the suction and the undertow, I guess, under there is just so dangerous. And they tell everyone that you have to be really careful when you're exploring down there. Even people that like have scuba gear and stuff can get pinned underneath that.
So the Yakut's fire crew was out there, and they were on the ground, but they couldn't make a recovery effort.
Yeah.
So then you got to call the Coast Guard. 30 minutes later, the Coast Guard gets there with Yahat, sorry. And the chopper gets there.
Yeah, and they drop in the swimmer.
Well, they couldn't either, but they eventually the rescue swimmer was able to recover the body at that point. But they don't know when the person died. They don't know if, you know.
What an awful way to go.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, you know, you're just up there and like you know you're exploring and.
So a passerby said, or another bystander said that the person was getting too close to the edge.
Yeah.
All right.
Be careful out there, people.
You want some good news?
Yeah, give me some good. So I got death and bomb news from the coast. Give me. I don't know. Is there like a
I don't have any
seal pupper?
Like, I don't have any good coast news, but I do have some Portland news. And I know you guys love your fried chicken.
Oh, I do love fried chicken.
It is fried chicken week in Portland. Right now.
Reel them in. Here I come.
Right now. And Portland's buzzing, so it says here. Although I don't think it is, but it says it is.
I want it to be.
Is it new this year?
Yeah, because they've always had Burger Week.
Yeah, Burger Week I've been familiar with for a while, yeah.
But now Fried Chicken Week.
Well, it's a good thing fried chicken's getting its chance to shine, because damn it, fried chicken is delightful.
So this goes until Sunday, and you can get your hands on $10 finger-licking good plates of fried chicken.
Where am I going here?
It is a Portland-hosted event. Mm-hmm. It includes 39 restaurants, each featuring their own fried chicken creation, doused in a sauce, or be it its crispy perfection.
Yeah. Because if you're getting good fried chicken, you don't need a sauce to go with it.
Closest to us here is JoJo has a special this week.
That is. And by the way, speaking of delightful fried chicken, I give you JoJo.
So does Nom Nom, which isn't far away. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at all these on here. I mean, there's a bunch of them. You'd have to go. The Rambler. You ever been to the Rambler?
I've never been to the Rambler.
You know, a bunch of them. You can go look it up.
I do go to Reel 'em In quite a bit. It is a phenomenal dive bar that's all they have is fried chicken. The beauty part is there's only one employee there, and they're having to work the bar and the chicken. So on a busy day, you may have to wait an hour for fried chicken, but that just means you get to drink more while waiting for your fried chicken, and it is delightful.
If you go to theactualportland.com, that's the name of the website,
yeah.
theactualportland.com, you can click on the Fried Chicken Week, and it will have a map of locations.
Looking at it right now, it's interactive. You scroll over one, it tells you what the place's special is. It's great.
That's right. That's right.
God, I love fried chicken.
Take advantage. $10.
Is Popeye's on that list?
I don't think so.
I'm assuming not, but still. If you've had a night out and you want some late night fried chicken, you do a lot worse than a spicy three-piece from Popeye's.
And that is in the news, September 17, 2025. Up next. Ooh. I'm being surprised by my own notes. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Ah, thank you.
The surprise was?
Athletes that bring you joy. Dan Lanning post-game commentary and NFL Wednesday waffles.
I love it.
Are you kidding me?
Well, now that we're talking about chicken, now we're throwing waffles into it too?
Come on, man.
Come on, son.
That next hour on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.